Chapter 9. First Steps in a New Direction. Trusting Christ as Savior and Lord is the most important decision you will ever make. Your eternal destiny has been changed because of what Christ has done for you. But that is not the end of the story. In many ways, it is only the beginning. Perhaps you have heard the term born again and wondered where it comes from. Originally, the term came from the lips of Jesus, John chapter 3, verse 3. It describes the new life he gives to those who come to him in saving faith. Just as physical birth ushers in a new life that leads to physical growth, being born again spiritually produces in you a brand new life that leads to spiritual growth. Salvation in the biblical sense has three parts. First, you are saved from the guilt of sin in your past the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, you are being saved moment by moment from the power of sin in the present as you depend upon the Lord and obey His commands. Third, you will be saved from the presence of sin in the future when you finally stand before the Lord in heaven. In that day, sin and its corrosive consequences will be removed from your life once and for all. While it is true that believers enjoy salvation now, the best is yet to come. We can see the three tenses of salvation very clearly in John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The believer has crossed over, that's the past, has eternal life, that's the present, and will not be condemned, that's the future. I began this book by promising you some good news that could change your life. Part of the good news is that once you trust Christ, your sins are forgiven. Christ comes into your life, you become a part of God's family, and you receive the gift of eternal life. You don't need to fear death, for when you die, you will go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus forever. At the end of a conference in Hudson, Florida, an older couple drove me to the Tampa airport so I could catch my flight back to Chicago. As we talked, the father shared a tragic story about the death of one of his sons at the age of 33. It happened just as the son was completing his training to be a missionary. Cancer took him in death after only 3 months. Before he died, he encouraged his parents with these words, "Don't worry about me. I'm just being transferred to headquarters." His parents have cherished those words ever since his death. Where does that faith come from? What hope do any of us have of going to heaven? Surely it is this. Through faith we have been united with Jesus Christ. When we die, we will be where Christ is, and we know where he is because 40 days after he rose from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. At the moment of death, the children of God can rest assured that the Christ who ascended bodily into heaven will take them to be with him and will one day raise their bodies, immortal and incorruptible. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, New Living Translation. This assurance is not just for a selected few believers, but it is meant for all those who come to Christ in genuine saving faith. Another part of the good news is that Christ comes into your life to change it from the inside out. As he makes himself at home in your heart, you will discover new desires you never had before and new strength to empower your new desires. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The Christian life begins the moment you trust Christ, but it doesn't end there. It continues day by day as you learn to walk with God, to grow in faith and love, to pray to your Heavenly Father, to follow Jesus wherever he leads you, and to share his love with those you meet. If the Christian life is a book, coming to Christ is only chapter one. Here are some practical tips that will help you along the way. Don't base your salvation upon how you feel at a given moment. Even the greatest Christians have times of doubt and uncertainty. Doubt can even be good if it leads you back to a new confidence in God and in His Word. Don't base your salvation on an experience or even on your own faith. Remember that faith itself is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You are not saved by faith in Christ, but by Christ who saves you through faith. Rest your hope on who Jesus is and what He accomplished for you in His death and resurrection. Since salvation is of the Lord, you don't need to base your relationship with Christ on a date or a time when you had a certain experience. You don't consciously remember the moment of your birth, but you know you are alive. You may not remember the precise moment of your spiritual birth into God's family, but the Holy Spirit will give you assurance as you continue to believe God's promises and trust Christ alone as your Savior. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says clearly that you can know that you have eternal life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. New Living Translation. Just as physical growth happens slowly over time, the same is true in the spiritual arena. If you have struggled in some areas before coming to Christ, it is altogether likely that you may continue to struggle in that area for some time to come. Pray about your problems. Find some other Christians to encourage you along the way. Be honest with the Lord about areas of your life that aren't changing as fast as you would like. Use your struggles as an opportunity to grow. Jesus calls His followers disciples, which means learners. Ask God every morning to help you follow Jesus all day long. Jesus also calls you to take up your cross daily, which means setting aside your own agenda to follow Christ. Luke chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. You will discover His agenda for your life through regular prayer, study of the Bible, by meditating on and memorizing key scripture verses, and through the counsel of other Christian believers. All these are part of the leading of the Holy Spirit who now indwells you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. One evidence of new life is that God gives you a love for other Christians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. You certainly will grow much faster if you unite with a Bible-believing local church where the gospel is preached and Christians are challenged to serve the Lord. God never intended His children to be loners, living in cocoons, separated from each other. We are members of one body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. You need to be part of a local church for shared worship, following Christ in baptism, the regular experience of the Lord's Supper, fellowship with other Christians, and the opportunity to learn by listening to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. You also need the spiritual discipline of following godly leaders who can help you discover and use your spiritual gifts. God's heart embraces the whole world. Being part of a local church connects you to the worldwide Christian community. Through your church, you will support missionaries in other countries, and you will also learn of opportunities to unite with Christians in other churches in larger projects for the kingdom of God. The world notices when Christians truly love one another. Jesus said, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." John chapter 13, verse 35. God gives His children a love for His Word. If you don't have a Bible, purchase one and begin to read it every day. Start with one of the Gospels, the book of Mark, for instance, and read the unfolding story of the life of Christ. Then make it a habit to read at least one psalm each day and also one chapter from the book of Proverbs. Most new believers discover that they gain much from being with a small group of believers on a regular basis. Encourage each other and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, New Living Translation. Here you develop friendships, find a place to get your questions answered, and share stories of how God is helping each of you day by day. Most local churches make some provision for this kind of ministry, either through classes on Sunday or through groups that meet in homes during the week. Today there is a wealth of resources available to help you grow. These include various translations of the Bible, study Bibles with notes, books that help you understand the Bible and the Christian life, and an abundance of Christian music. In addition, there are computer programs and internet sites filled with useful information. You may want to ask your pastor or your chaplain for some suggestions. If you don't know where to begin, visit a Christian bookstore near you and ask one of the staff to help you find some of those resources. Your church may have a lending library. This will also be a helpful source of books and tapes regarding Christian growth and Christian theology. Be sure to give God the first few moments of every day. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Take time to focus your heart and your thoughts on the Lord. You can do this through prayer, Bible reading, listening to good Christian music, and also by reading good devotional material that points you to the Lord and to His Word. The first few minutes are vital because they set the tone for the rest of the day. I suggest you keep a spiritual journal in which you write down key insights from Scripture and record the spiritual lessons the Lord teaches you through the circumstances of life. As you grow in Christ, you will find a new desire to share your material resources with others. Become a joyful giver. And how do you do that? By giving what you have to God. This certainly involves giving a portion of your money to the Lord through His church. You will also find many opportunities to give to those less fortunate than you. God loves a cheerful giver, but you can never experience that until you give joyfully from the heart. Before too long, you are certain to face temptation to sin. It will probably come at a moment when you don't expect it. Remember that temptation itself isn't a sin. It's how you respond that makes a difference. Whenever God allows you to be tempted, He also makes a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Pray for wisdom to see the way out, and then ask God for courage to take that way when you see it. As you grow in your new life, the Holy Spirit will give you a desire to obey God and a growing hatred for sin. When you sin, you will have two choices. You can hide your sin and pretend it didn't happen, but if you do that, your life is certain to get worse, not better. Or you can confess your sin, admit what you did, and ask God to forgive you. God blesses those people who confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He will give you both the desire and the power to say no to sin as you rely on Him. It is natural for you to share your faith with others. Be bold in your faith, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Don't let opposition silence your voice. Speak up for what you know is right. You may someday have to speak out against evil. Speak the truth in love and then trust God for the results. Your courage will bring you much joy and will encourage other Christians to be bold as well. Pray for opportunities to share the good news, the gospel, with others. Ask God to make you sensitive to those you meet each day. There are many ways to talk about Christ with someone else. Here's a simple question that opens many doors. How can I pray for you? You might want to buy an extra copy of this book and have it on hand so that you can give it to a friend. Ask your friend to read it and tell you what he or she thinks about it. Coming to Christ changes the way you look at the world. Those who follow Jesus are called to be His ambassadors in the world, doing justice, loving mercy, and helping those in need. Ask God each day to help you make a difference in the world. Small things done in Jesus' name can have a huge impact on others. Asking questions is a great way to grow spiritually. As you study the Bible and as you listen to sermons and Bible studies, jot down your questions. See if you can find the answers on your own through your own personal study. If not, ask a friend or a trusted Christian leader to help you find the answers. Never be ashamed to admit you don't know something. That's always the first step in personal growth. Don't be surprised when hard times come. Jesus promised that in this world His followers would encounter much difficulty, John chapter 16, verse 33. God allows hard times to come in order to develop our faith, purify our motives, reorient our focus away from the things of the world, and enable us to grow spiritually. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. When those hard times come, pray for endurance so that your faith will not fail. Gratitude is another mark that you are a child of God. All that you have, including life itself, comes from God. Take time daily to say thank you to God for all His blessings. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This will keep you from becoming hard and bitter when things don't go your way. Look for a chance to serve the Lord in some practical way. You will discover that God has given you talents that will enable you to serve the body of Christ, His church. As you serve, you will find great fulfillment and deep joy in the Lord. Don't limit yourself to what you think you would like to do. Ask God to use you in the way He deems best. Remember that coming to Christ is not like taking up a new hobby. It's the beginning of a new life where you come to know the God who created you. Although you don't realize it now, God has started a lifetime project of making you like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. You aren't a finished product yet, which is one reason why the Christian life won't always be easy. Becoming a Christian means taking a journey that starts on earth and ends in heaven. If you have gotten this far in the book, I believe you are well on your way in your journey with the Lord. Keep on moving forward. Keep your eyes on the prize, and you will not be disappointed. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. In the spiritual life, direction makes all the difference. God is more interested in direction than perfection. Now that you have committed your life to Christ, there will be many surprises, some wonderful answers to prayer, and, no doubt, some major battles to fight. You may find yourself going up and down in your Christian life. If that happens, don't despair. Just keep on moving forward with Christ. Daily obedience is the key. The Holy Spirit will help you to obey the Lord. Some days you may feel as if you aren't making any progress at all. Don't let your feelings rule your life. Trust God and keep walking in the right direction. With that, we come to the end of this book. If you haven't yet trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, I encourage you to go back and read chapter 8, Coming to Christ, again. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift is yours for the taking. This is the good news that can change your life. If God gives us understanding of who Jesus is and what He did for us, our only response can be to come to Him in love and trust, asking Him to save us. May God grant you faith to believe Jesus Christ. If you have doubts, come and see for yourself. The way to heaven has been opened by the Son of God. Come just as you are, holding nothing back, making no excuses. Come, and as you come to Christ, He will come to you. A truth to remember. Coming to Christ by faith is a lifetime journey that starts on earth and ends in heaven. Quick review. Let's review what we learned together. Listed below are a number of summary statements. Put a check mark by each statement if you agree with it. God is infinite, eternal, holy, righteous, all-knowing, all-powerful. He created me in His image. God loves me and wants to have a relationship with me. I was made to know God personally. I am a sinner. My sins separate me from God. I am truly guilty and unable to save myself. I can never be good enough to save myself. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. I am not saved by what I do, but by what Christ has done for me. When I trust Christ, he takes my sin and I receive the gift of his righteousness. Salvation is a free gift offered to anyone who trusts Christ as Savior. I am trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Go back and read the prayer in chapter 8 again. If you are truly trusting Christ, put your initials and today's date by that prayer. Going deeper. What are the next steps you need to take on your spiritual journey? If you have just trusted Christ as Savior, who else needs to know about your decision? A 7-day plan for spiritual growth. Day 1. Read John chapter 3. Circle every instance of the word believe or believes. Day 2. Tell a friend about your decision to trust Christ as Savior. Day 3. Spend time today praying for spiritual guidance. Day 4. Memorize Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Share it with a friend. Day 5. Ask God to lead you to someone who needs a word of encouragement. Day 6. Meditate on Psalm 1. Write it down word for word and then say it out loud. Day 7. Find a church where the Bible is taught. Attend worship services this Sunday. This is the end of An Anchor for the Soul by Ray Pritchard. Ray Pritchard serves as president of Keep Believing Ministries, an internet-based community serving Christians in 220 countries. He served in the pastorate for 26 years, most recently at Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park, Illinois. Dr. Pritchard is the author of 27 books, including Stealth Attack, The Incredible Journey of Faith, The Healing Power of Forgiveness, and Names of the Holy Spirit. Ray and Marlene have been married for 36 years. They have 3 sons and 2 daughters-in-law and 1 grandson. All of their sons and daughters-in-law have spent time in recent years teaching English in China. 3 of Dr. Pritchard's books have been translated into Chinese. He enjoys the internet, riding his bike, and anything related to the Civil War. If you would like to contact the author, you can reach him in the following ways. By mail, Ray Pritchard, Keep Believing Ministries, P.O. Box 257, Elmhurst, Elmhurst, Illinois, 60126. By email, ray@keepbelieving.com. Via the internet, www.keepbelieving.com.